Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, another championship trophy is coming home to LA. We're going to talk about bandwagon fans, halftime shows, and we'll actually even touch on a little bit of Dodgers news with the free agent signing they made. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince and I are doing a split episode, so he will be with you for the second half of this show. We want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I want to remind you, if you haven't yet subscribed on YouTube, we would love if you do that. We have a giveaway coming up as soon as we get to 800 subscribers. Last I checked, we are five away, so let's get that number up there because we bring you Dodgers content every single weekday morning. We love talking Dodgers with you. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans who have both spent time covering the Dodgers as fans and as media. And so we think we bring you a pretty good, unique perspective on the Dodgers, and we love doing it, and we hope you love listening to us. So today, not a lot of Dodgers news, but a little bit. Vince is going to get to the actual Dodgers news a little bit later. But the Rams won the Super Bowl, and it was an exciting game. The last several weeks of the postseason in the NFL were really exciting. This game, again, came down to it was a three-point game. The Bengals had a chance to drive down and tie it with a field goal, but the Rams defense stepped up. I'm not a football expert. Those of you who listen to this show or watch it regularly know that I am a baseball guy. I do enjoy, you know, I enjoy watching football to kill time. For me, every sport other than baseball is just killing time until baseball season. Unfortunately, right now, we don't know when baseball season is going to be, at least on the major league side. And so we don't know how much time we're going to have to kill. And so I was maybe a little bit more interested in this year's Super Bowl than I am sometimes just because we don't have spring training starting this week like we thought we should. The league and the union did meet this weekend, and unfortunately, no news, really. They met for about an hour, they exchanged a proposal, and they left without an agreement and not being particularly close to an agreement, which means pitchers and catchers probably aren't reporting tomorrow like they were originally supposed to. So we're going to talk a little bit about football. And it's kind of interesting with the Rams winning. The Rams are from LA now, again. The Rams have bounced around in their history, and when I was a teenager, the Rams were the LA Rams, although they played in Anaheim. That sounds familiar, huh? Same stadium, even. But then the Rams and the Raiders both moved out of LA or the LA area. Rams went to St. Louis, the Raiders went back to Oakland, and now both teams have moved again. The Rams came back to LA, to real LA this time. The Raiders have gone to Las Vegas. But there's a whole generation of fans who, if you were a football fan who's, you know, a little bit younger than me, you didn't have a home team to grow up. If you are from the LA area, you didn't have a home team to grow up rooting for. And so a lot of LA fans had to choose a different team or not be football fans or just be kind of general football fans and not really have a favorite team. And that's hard. You know, I live in Utah as a baseball fan, so I understand that. I meet a lot of people, most of my friends around here who grew up here in Utah who are baseball fans, they have a ton of different favorite teams. There's a lot of Braves fans here because the Braves were on TBS, and so they could watch the Braves growing up. And Dale Murphy lives here near us, and he was the big Braves star. So between the Dale Murphy connection and the TBS connection, there's a lot of Braves fans here. There's also, as you would expect, a fair amount of Red Sox fans and Yankee fans and Cubs fans, just kind of the big names. There's several Dodger fans. We've got some good Dodger fans here in Utah. A lot of California transplants come up here to Utah you know, the same way I ended up here in Utah, I came up to go to BYU, and a lot of Southern Californians come up to go to BYU, and a lot of us stick around. And so, you know, a lot of Dodger fans here, but I get what it's like to grow up loving a sport and not having a local team. And I understand that there's a lot of things that go into how you choose your favorite team. And we're seeing a lot of that with the Rams, where fans who weren't Rams fans when the Rams were in St. Louis, some of them have chosen to be Rams fans now that the Rams are back. And maybe some of them didn't even choose until this year when the Rams were really good. All the Rams were, you know, they were good a couple of years ago. They've been, you know, pretty good since they came back to LA. And so a lot of fans have become or re-become Rams fans, whether that means giving up on an old team. You know, Vince and I have talked about this. Vince is a Raiders fan. He got that from his uncle. And, you know, Vince didn't change. Vince is now a Dodger fan living in L.A., where a city that has two football teams. And Vince is not a fan of either of the football teams in L.A. That's totally fine, too, because that's what happens when you grow up without a football team, a local team. But there are a lot of people who have become Rams fans. And you see a lot of stuff back and forth on social media. You basically gatekeeping. And, you know, fan gatekeeping is always the worst. Saying you're not as good a fan of me as me because X, Y, or Z. Or you can't be a fan of this team because, you know, you weren't with us for the hard times. Or, you know, you didn't stick with us when we moved to St. Louis. You can't just jump back. And here's my opinion on bandwagon fans. Welcome to the wagon. You know, when the Dodgers got good in 2013, you know, the Dodgers had, you know, they had a couple NLCS appearances in the late, you know, in 2008, 2009. But, you know, basically until 2013, the Dodgers had had 20 years or so of some pretty big struggles. And then the Dodgers got pretty good. You know, Clayton Kershaw came around. Matt Kemp was really good. You know, obviously that those they both started a little bit before 2013. But this era of Dodger fans, there's a lot of people who have become Dodger fans in the last 10 years or so. And I think that's great. You know, and even more, probably in 2020 when the Dodgers won the World Series, there was even more Dodger fans came on the bandwagon. And my opinion, my view is, every fandom starts somewhere. You know, for me, I was born into a Dodger family. My family, the Snyders, became Dodger fans when the Dodgers moved to LA. And my dad grew up in La Puente, just, you know, near LA. He was 4 years old when the Dodgers moved to town, and they were baseball fans. And when the Dodgers came to town, my family became Dodger fans. They became a Dodgers family. And some people might have called them front runners. You know, maybe they were old school Brooklyn fans saying, "You haven't been with us for the bums. You haven't been through all the hard times now." But and then they won the World Series their second year in LA, and it probably made people mad. And then they won two more. You know, they by the time they had been in LA for a decade, they had three World Series titles. And, you know, but the fact is, every fandom starts somewhere. And hopefully some of those bandwagon fans will stick around, and maybe they won't. But you need bandwagon fans. That's how you grow a fan base. If nobody new is allowed to become a fan of the team, the fan base will not grow. That's hashtag math. And so I love bandwagon fans. You know, I joke sometimes. I remember in the 2017 World Series, I tweeted out a joke about how brand new all the Astros fans' jerseys looked. Because they were, you know. It's like, you got an Alex Bregman jersey. How long you been a fan, you know? This is his second year with the Astros. You know, there were a lot of new fans. But great, they came along, and now they're fans. You know, we know what happened with Astros fans. But fans in general, you got to start somewhere, and if it takes your team winning the Super Bowl or the World Series to get you on board, great. Hope you stick around. Hope you get to experience some of the hard times and stick with the team, because the good times, the World Series wins, the Super Bowl wins, feel even better when you have had some of the struggles. But every fandom starts somewhere, and so do not be the kind of fan who doesn't let people join your team. Instead, be the kind of fan that welcomes bandwagon fans and says, come on, let's be a lifelong fan together. So I'm going to come back and talk about Super Bowl halftime shows in a little bit. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it locked on Dodgers. It's February, which means maybe you've given up on your New Year's resolutions. But if your resolution was to eat better, I hope you haven't given up. And I hope you're using Built Bar to help you with that. Between the Built Bars and their Built Bar Puffs, they've got these, you know, candy bar-like things and marshmallow-like things, both covered in 100% chocolate. Everything they make is covered in 100% chocolate. And it's all low calorie, low carb, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and delicious. Delicious is the most important part. That's what they start with. They start with delicious, and then they figure out how to make it healthy. And they do a great job at both. So if you haven't tried Built Bar yet, it's time. Get some bars, get some puffs, whatever you need. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And while you're on the internet taking my advice, go to rockauto.com. If you have a car and you ever need auto parts, you should get them at rockauto.com. You will pay less than the auto parts store, and you won't have to go to the auto parts store. All you got to do is plan ahead a little bit because, yeah, they have to ship it to you. But a lot of times when you go to the auto parts store, they're going to have to order in the part anyway because they're not going to carry everything exactly what you need. So chances are it's not even going to take any longer. So just sit down at your computer, go to rockauto.com, and you can browse your car or truck and see everything that's available for it. And you're going to be surprised when you look and realize that you are paying less. You're getting great customer service. Everything about Rock Auto is better than going to the auto parts store. I promise you, I've used it myself. I have saved hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and you will too if you make all your auto parts purchases at rockauto.com and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they will know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, I'm back. There was a halftime show at the Super Bowl. I don't know if you heard about that. They do that sometimes. It's always kind of funny. I remember growing up, people, you know, it was always complaining, why are they doing the Rolling Stones? They're so old. And, you know, now people like me are the old people. And you realize, oh, having this cool, nostalgic, throwback Super Bowl halftime show, it was kind of fun. I'm not, you know, a huge Snoop Dogg fan, Dr. Dre fan. I was a big Eminem fan back in the day. I've never listened to 50 Cent on purpose. I've watched his first pitch at the Mets game many times. Kendrick Lamar, I don't think I've ever listened to him. I was pretty impressed, you know, and so, you know, I know he's a newer guy, Mary J. Blige, not my cup of tea, but from my era. And so I thought they did a really good job of mixing the eras and getting some new, some old, and something for everybody. I thought it was I really liked the Bruno Mars halftime show a couple years ago. I thought that was really good. I did not care much for The Weeknd last year. That one, it was fine, but it didn't do much for me. This one I thought was a ton of fun. And I think even if you don't necessarily like that music, it was fun. You can't watch Snoop Dogg perform and not smile. Like, just, he's so charismatic and sure of himself and goofy, but in a good way. Like, I mean, he's a goofy looking dude. He's 18 feet tall and 36 pounds and, you know, up there dancing and, you know, his dreads, he's got the same hairstyle, except it's getting a little bit higher and higher on his forehead every year. But you know, he's still Snoop Dogg. He's a ton of fun to watch and to listen to. And I wish they did halftime shows at baseball games. I mean, the big challenge is there's no halftime at a baseball game. So when would you do it? But I would love to see baseball try to incorporate something like this. Obviously, the reason it works for the Super Bowl is because it is once a year. You know, the big show is once a year. And so if they did that for a game of the World Series, that's another challenge, is that, you know, the World Series is 4 to 7 games. And so you can't do a halftime show every game. When would you do it? Which game? But it's fun, and it is a cool thing because it does bring, there's something for everybody. Even if you don't care about football, there's a reason that people watch the Super Bowl, even if they don't care who wins. And the halftime show is part of it. The commercials are part of it. I haven't followed along on social media too much today, so I don't know if this is the 801st straight year where people say the commercials were worse than usual. I do know that every year people say they're worse than usual. So either they actually get worse every year, or maybe we're not very good at remembering how good they were last year. That's just a thought. But, you know, the commercials bring some people in, football brings some people in, but the halftime show brings in a lot of people. And I think that's why you end up with sometimes older people, because guess what? People my age in general have more disposable income. Not me particularly, but, you know, old people like me have more disposable income often than some of the younger people. And so, you know, people who listened to Snoop Dogg when Snoop Dogg was at his peak probably have more money than people who listened to Name, insert name of current singer now. I don't know any current singers, but I thought it was a lot of fun, and I think it would be a cool thing for baseball to try to bring in some of that energy. I know the World Series does get a lot of fans watching just because it's on, but you know, I don't necessarily very often propose stealing ideas from the NFL because I do think baseball is a far superior sport. But, you know, trying to harness some of that energy of the Super Bowl halftime show in some way, even if it's not exactly a concert like that, but figuring out some way to harness some of that energy might be cool, a cool way to bring in some extra eyeballs. And I believe the more eyeballs you get on, it kind of goes back to the bandwagon fan thing. If people come for the concert and they realize, oh, this is kind of a cool game too. Hey, great. We got more baseball fans. And that's what we need in the world is more baseball fans and more baseball. So MLB and Union, get it together. Let's get baseball going. That's going to do it for me today. Vince is going to come along. He's going to talk about the little bit of Dodgers actual news. They made a free agent signing, a minor league free agent signing, of course, because the lockout doesn't allow anything else, but it could be an interesting one. So Vince is going to talk to you about that. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And Vince will be along in a minute.
Now, football might be over for this season, but basketball is full steam ahead for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds, right to Olympic coverage and information. Head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Vince here to close out the episode. And shout out to the LA Rams. They won the Super Bowl. They brought another championship to the city of Los Angeles. While I wasn't necessarily rooting for them, can't necessarily say I was rooting against them, but I guess by direct definition I was. But either way, congrats to them. Congrats to those fans, bandwagon or not. You know, enjoy it. Enjoy it however you enjoy it. I know I mentioned last week that Rams fans, a lot of them are annoying, the ones that I know. They actually weren't too bad after the Super Bowl. So props to them for maybe, I don't know, humbling themselves by winning. I don't know exactly what happened. But either way, I'm here to talk to you guys about MLB lockout, MLB hating minor league players, and the Dodgers made a signing, a minor league signing, obviously, because the MLB's in lockout. Or not the MLB, but MLB's in lockout. So we'll start there. The owners made a proposal on Saturday. Rob Manfred had hyped up this proposal when he spoke to the media last week and, you know, made it seem like we're not going to miss any time and spring training is going to start soon and this proposal on Saturday is going to knock our socks off. And everybody's socks are still on because the proposal didn't really concede anything on the owner's side. They added a few dollars here and there to competitive the tax thresholds. They maintain the tax rates for penalties, which is way higher than what the penalties are now. If you go over the CBA, I mean, if you go over the luxury tax, they added $5 million to the bonus pool where they're still $85 million off from what the players asked for. And pitchers and catchers were supposed to report today. We were supposed to be talking about the excitement of players showing up to Camelback Ranch and start getting excited for the season. And instead, we're in day 75 of the lockout, and it doesn't look like it's getting any closer. And it's just continued, you know, bravado on the owner's side because they've seen the players concede every single time they do this. They've seen the players back down, end up taking less than they came in asking for just because they want the season to start, and that's how it goes. And that's what they're trying to do here again. And although right now, as we're getting closer to season, it appears that the players are forming a strong united front, not conceding. You know, they've already made some concessions, but haven't really made, you know, any ridiculous concessions. I'd be like, damn, the players gave up. But, you know, we're getting close. I do think that obviously pitcher and catcher is supposed to report today. I do think they could get away theoretically with negotiating for 2 more weeks before the season's actually in jeopardy. If they can come up with a deal by the first, by March 1st or the first week of March, maybe, it's very possible that the season doesn't get delayed, or if it does, maybe just by a week. But it appears that the players are in it for the long haul at this point. And, you know, we've heard different things about how owners don't care too much about April games, losing those because they're not that well attended usually because of bad weather on most of the East Coast. Obviously, the Dodgers don't have that issue, so the Dodgers would lose more money theoretically than some of these other teams. But as of right now, it doesn't look like the season's going to start on March 31st. And I have no idea how or when this is going to end. And it's not fun anymore. It wasn't fun at the beginning, but at least you were like, oh, they got 2 months to figure it out. And then they've talked, less than 5 times and had less than a handful of proposals. And it's officially in the boat of this isn't fun anymore. So maybe some miracle happens and they can figure this out in the next 2 weeks. But as of now, just the way, at the rate the owners are conceding some stuff, it doesn't look like they're really negotiating yet. And it's only going to, I don't know, it's not fun. And we'll see what happens in this next week. I'm sure, I don't know if they plan to ramp up meetings or more proposals or what. Hopefully, yes, out to all that, what I just said. But we'll see what happens. And if MLB wasn't already getting on our bad side with this stuff, they are also in court arguing against paying their minor leaguers for spring training. So players do not get paid for spring training. There's a lawsuit right now, class action lawsuit, by some former minor league players. I don't know if they ever made the majors, but by some former players that played in the minors. Don't get paid for spring training. And MLB was like, nah, son, you basically saying, y'all should be paying us. They go on the NCAA route where, you know, players haven't been getting paid in the NCAA. NCAA is like, well, you're getting a free education, and that's worth a lot of money. And MLB is kind of doing the same thing where MLB players say, hey, we should be paid during spring training. And MLB is saying, hey, you know what? For the value you're getting for this training, you're getting enough. You know, you're getting enough. And that's basically what they said. They basically said that minor league players are considered trainees. They shouldn't be paid during spring training. And here's the exact quote. It is the players that obtain the greater benefit from the training opportunities that they are afforded than the clubs, who actually just incur the cost of having to provide that training. During the training season, the players are not employees and would not be subject to either the Fair Labor Standards Act or any state minimum wage act. Which is ridiculous, because even in most general jobs, or at least the ones that I know of or have heard of, you get paid for training. So, you know, there's a couple jobs when I was younger where, you know, regular, normal jobs where I would have been like, if I'm not getting paid for training, I'm not going to go. What's the point? Why would I, you know, why would I go to voluntary training just to get this job? So most places pay for training these days, at least, you know, whatever I've dealt with in life. So for MLB to be like, nah, you're trainees, we're not going to pay you. And actually, you guys are getting, you know, we're getting the short end of the stick on this. You know, we're not getting a month of free labor. We're have to pay for this training. And it's just ridiculous. I don't understand. It makes zero sense to me. And for, I know, obviously, it's all money, as we've seen from owners and everything. But it makes no sense to me for somebody to treat their future it's kind of like similar to what I've heard and seen about fraternities. Like, these are the pledges, and they basically just treat them like trash, put them through all this stuff, and then after all that, degrading them to a point of you don't really matter, they're like, oh yeah, now you can join the club when you're, you know, and now you can be part of the fraternity. That's kind of how MLB is. They're like, oh, minor leaguers, we're going to not give you good food, and we're going to not pay you well, and we're going to have you sleep 6 guys in a 1-bedroom apartment on air mattresses, and, or, you know, you're going to have to eat in or sleep in your car or whatever the case is. And then it's like, but if you get all through, if you get through all that, man, you're going to be in the major leagues. And that's exactly how they've been treating it. Makes no sense to me why you wouldn't want your players to be in top-notch shape. Why would you want your future guys that are going to try to help you win a World Series, why would you want them possibly, you know, hindering their playing by injuries that could happen by, you know, like I said, sleeping on air mattress, sleeping on the floor, you know, sleeping in a car, whatever the case is, by being malnutrition, by, you know, these guys have said that they sometimes they have to eat fast food because that's all they can afford on what they're either getting paid, whatever their bonus, whatever the case is, whatever money they have, you know. And while, you know, while Chad Ochocinco makes it very clear that, you know, you can eat McDonald's every day and still perform at an elite level, some of these guys, their bodies don't work that way. And if you're eating McDonald's, you know, how many, you know, there's how many players that probably had the talent to make the big leagues don't end up making it because of, you know, they don't get the right nutrition, so they don't perform as well as they could. And, you know, they end up having to leave the game of baseball because they don't make enough money. And it's just weird to me. You know, the Dodgers are do it too. To a certain extent, the Dodgers have revamped their food so that, you know, their minor league players do eat well. But, you know, they weren't even the first ones to offer housing. Actually, the Astros were the first ones this last year to pay for housing for minor leaguers. I think it's going to happen all around next year. But it's just weird how, you know, MLB does this, and they're obviously trying to continue to do it. And this, we'll have to monitor this trial. It's going to keep going on, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, basically, minor leaguers, for whatever reason, get the short end of the stick a lot, and it makes no sense to me. But that's how it goes. Speaking of minor leaguers, Dodgers made a minor league signing over the weekend. They signed Steven Romero. He is a right-handed bat who played in the majors from 2014 to 2016 with the Mariners, has spent the last few years in Japan, and become a slugger of sorts. Not a crazy slugger, but he's hit 99 home runs in 445 games over there in Japan. Or in the MPB, he did hit three home runs in another league over there. But he's a guy who can play outfield and second base and a little bit of first base. He's, I don't know, a flyer at this point. I know someone that mentioned, Rosenthal mentioned potential DH option if CBA indeed includes universal DH, which Manfred says already agreed upon. I hope they wouldn't retract on that. But yeah, interesting, I guess. He's 33 years old. He's not crazy big. He's 6'2", 220. I think it's probably more of a depth signing at this point. Maybe they see something in the swing that they can enhance or something that can work well. You know, when he's with the Mariners from 2014, 2016, you think of Chris Taylor vibes. But I wouldn't expect, you know, I don't have high expectations for this guy. But, you know, either way, he's a guy that has had success overseas, maybe could bring that success over here. And at the very least, he can be depth in AAA if he wants to remain over here. So that's all they got on him, Steven Romero. Well, if we remember, if the name becomes big enough, remember where you heard about him first, probably here or on Twitter. So either way, that's going to do it for me on today's episode. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you for checking in with us every day. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day every day. We will be back this week talking about not pitchers and catchers reporting, but maybe get into a little bit more stuff about this upcoming season and maybe still getting Keith Law to talk about his prospects. He has the Dodgers as the top farm system. He has a bunch of guys in his top 100, and he also released his top 20 Dodgers prospects. So there's a lot to talk about. But if your first listen is us, and your second listen should be Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's also free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625 or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.